Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, Mind Over Matter. Are you struggling with unhelpful self-talk? We're going to help you get out of your own way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Mind Over Matter, we're talking about that struggle with unhelpful self-talk. All of us have an inner critic, that negative voice that undermines our peace, our confidence, our joy. How does your inner critic get in the way? Does it beat you up for making mistakes? Tell you that you're not good enough? Make you feel guilty, anxious, or powerless in certain situations? Or for that matter, would you like to help someone you care about stop getting stuck in a negative headspace about themselves or their circumstances? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
I think one of the most difficult things about this is that we believe those thoughts. Right? We believe that perhaps it's God's way of telling us that, you know, we have to fix something, that somehow it's what we should be saying to ourselves to make ourselves change, to make ourselves get out of a place that needs growth, or that somehow it keeps us humble. And all of those can be such lies that we tell ourselves, or that we're actually letting the evil one tell us, because inevitably, when we start buying into those really difficult voices in our heads that undermine our peace and undermine our confidence and undermine our joy, it disables us. It's a little like, God forbid, spilling water on your computer, right? It's just water. It's no big deal until it comes in contact with your keyboard, and then everything can short out. And really, those negative voices, that inner critic, is really like that perfectly benign water that it's fine. It's just a thought until it comes in contact with who we really feel we are, and then everything sort of shorts out in our lives. And we watch it in people we care about all the time, don't we? We can say, well, if they just could get over this way of thinking, they'd be so much better off. They'd be happier, holier, healthier, whatever those things are. But sometimes the scripture says it's hard to see that plank in our own eye, because we feel like somehow we deserve to feel this way. If you're struggling with that inner critic that we all have, if those negative voices are undermining your peace and your joy and your confidence today, we're here to help you with it so that you can overcome those feelings and be all that you're meant to be in Christ. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
That's a really good metaphor, actually, Lisa, about, you know, spilling water on the keyboard. Those negative thoughts do tend to short us out. And, you know, but building on what you said, you know, I think you're right. People can sometimes look at those thoughts and say, well, you know, shouldn't I feel bad about the things that I've done that were wrong, or shouldn't I? And here's the thing, all right? The answer is yes and no. You know, any thought that moves us, that genuinely produces good fruit, right? Any thought that helps us draw closer to God, not just think about drawing closer to God, but actually move us closer to God, or help us be more of our best self. That is a consolation, right, as St. Ignatius of Loyola would put it. It's a prompting of the Holy Spirit that allows us to do something positive that moves us toward a more meaningful, intimate, or virtuous life.
Right.
On the other hand, the kinds of thoughts we're talking about, St. Ignatius referred to as desolations. And those are thoughts from the enemy that he whispers in our spiritual ear that cause us to feel powerless, isolated, self-pitying, or lead us to self-indulgence. Right? So meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue are sort of the hallmarks of a consolation. Powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, and self-indulgence are the hallmarks of a desolation. And, you know, so for example, if you're experiencing guilt, but it's moving you toward a productive, you know, fruitful response that's not just making you feel like, oh, I should do something about this, but actually enabling you to do
something
about
it, right? You're saying, and that can go in all sorts of ways, just in case people are thinking it's too hard to relate to. So that guilt leads you to the sacrament of reconciliation. That guilt makes you say, well, I'm going to get a support system and not do that thing, not go near that near occasion of sin again. I'm going to get into whatever I need to do, get out of that relationship that's such a temptation for me. Whatever that is, you know, learn new skills in my parenting so I'm not screaming all the time. Whatever that is, the Holy Spirit gets in there and enables us to become holier and healthier.
And produce good fruit.
Yeah.
It lead us to that meaningful, intimate, and virtuous response. On the other hand, if I'm feeling guilt that is causing me to just sit and wallow in it, that is causing me to just beat up on myself without doing anything productive about it, that's just causing me to feel that I can never change, right? That's the powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, and self-indulgence that comes from a desolation. So, you know, it's a matter of asking yourself, you know, not so much are these thoughts positive or negative, but are these thoughts helpful or unhelpful? Do they produce real fruit or do they hold me back?
Are they in right order is also important. So let's go back to that water analogy. You know, water can be the most important thing we can have, right? In a nice glass, in a safe space where we can go and we can drink that water. It will hydrate us. It will keep us healthier. It will keep our mind functioning better. It will do all those things that our body needs because we need water desperately. And we can say that water is a good thing when used in a right way. But if we take that glass of water and dump it all over our computer keyboard, that's letting that water do something that it's not meant to do in that situation. So what are we doing with those thoughts? Matters. Are we letting them affect us for good so that they are consolations that lead us toward the Lord and a better, healthier life? Or are we letting them be used really by the evil one to do us damage, to bring us closer to destruction? The way we handle it matters, and not one of us on the planet handles it well all the time. We don't. Look at St. Peter, who was like, nope, not going to deny you, Lord. And then all of those thoughts of doubt and fear come into his mind, and he denies the Lord three times, just as God knew he would. But God allowed him to redeem that as well. So don't think, I shouldn't do this. If I was a person of faith, I wouldn't go there. We all go there. But how do we get the strength in God's grace to go there less, to change it around, to give God glory in it? That's what we're talking about today on More to Life. If you're struggling, or if you have a loved one who is, we are here for you at 877-573-7825.
Again, that's 877-573-7825. As you were saying, Lisa, we do all have that inner critic. We're asking you, listeners, how is that inner critic getting in your way? Does it beat you up for making mistakes, tell you that you're not good enough, tell you that you're never going to be able to make those changes that are important to you? Does it make you feel guilty, anxious, or powerless in some way? Would you like to help someone you care about stop getting stuck in that negative headspace about themselves or their circumstances? Either way, we want to be here to help you silence those inner critics that stop us from being the person God wants us to be and living the life God wants us to live. The number again is 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for being the words that lead to everlasting life. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to truly tune in to your Holy Spirit so that we can hear what your Spirit is counseling us to do at all times and respond in ways that glorify you. Help us to reject those voices in our heads that lead to powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, self-indulgence, and instead embrace those voices that lead us to meaningful, intimate, and virtuous responses to the challenges we face, the difficulties we encounter, the struggles we go through. Because, Lord, we know that when we listen to those consolations, as your servant St. Ignatius called them, we are able to respond effectively and gracefully to all the challenges we face. We're able to use those challenges to draw closer to you and to grow into the person you call us to be. And so help us to tune in to the consolations and learn to tune out those desolations so that we can always glorify you in every response we make to the good things and the bad. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the title of the show is Mind Over Matter, but what we're really talking about here is that tendency to let our minds wander into those negative places that tear us down, make us powerless, make us ineffective, separate us from God's love, from the support of others, or from even our own best selves. All of us have that inner critic. How does your inner critic get in the way? Let's talk it out and find some ways forward at 877-573-7825.
Right now we're talking with Maggie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
On Covenant Radio. Hey, Maggie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep.
We can.
Okay. Well, I was just saying to your intermediate person that I have a 15-year-old daughter that's been diagnosed with depression and anxiety in about 3 years ago, and we've been through the gamut of counselors, hospitals, suicide attempts. We've been through a lot. Anyway, I'm trying not to get emotional, sorry.
Take your time, it's okay.
Anyway, at this point we're making a little progress via our school program and some medication. But I guess to narrow it down for your show today, one thing that really bothers me is that through this process, she has become very angry with God. And, I mean, I am currently reading your book, Unworried. I'm recognizing all the vocabulary that you're using.
Okay.
And I see all those desolations that she does to herself. And I see all these things that she says about herself that aren't true. But I can't get to be able to talk to her about God without saying he's not real, he doesn't love me. You know, anything about that, I get an eye roll or stupid. You know, things like that. And I've tried to, you know, just whisper a little prayer so she can hear it, you know, just trying to do something I'm just trying to get it without overwhelming her.
She's
not there yet.
I'm hearing what you're saying. So let me ask you, I want to just kind of ask a background question here first. Does she feel lovable at all?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Does she feel lovable at all?
I would say a lot of times that's one of the things that she's telling herself, that she's not, you know, nobody loves her, nobody likes her.
And that's the bigger problem right now. You know, it's always really upsetting when we as faithful parents hear our kids say, you know, I don't believe in God, or I don't think God loves me. And we want to address that, you know, understandably. But when you're talking about, especially when you're talking about kids, and especially a depressed kid, you know, that's the real root problem. There isn't so much a struggle with God; it's the struggle to feel loved at all. And so the more you're able to address that, the more she's going to be able to experience God's love as well. But right now, especially teens in particular, are in the stage of faith evolves in stages, right? So there are different stages that we go through. We all need different spiritual food at different spiritual stages. And so when you're in the teenage stage of faith development, it's all about relationship. I believe that something's true if it makes sense for my relationships. I believe something's false if it makes my relationships more complicated. And how that applies here is that if I don't feel loved in my relationships with people, I'm not going to believe that God loves me either, right? So she's just sort of intellectually and spiritually in that place where it's all about relationship. And so the stronger you can make your relationship, the more you can break through with helping her have that experience of your love. The more open and, you know, and the rest of the family's love and, you know, the more she's going to be open to hearing the idea that God loves her as well, because she could be experiencing that love through you guys. Now, when you hear me say that, let me ask you this. What are the times when you can see that she feels most connected to you and most loved by you?
I would say me personally is sort of when at nighttime when I sort of say goodnight to her and she's sort of in bed and she's just sort of relaxing, you know, or sometimes when she's sad and she will let me hug her or something, which has not been very often in the last few years. She tends to push everybody away.
So I'm going to want you to not give up on her when she does that, okay? Because when teens push us away, what they're really doing is they're playing hard to get. And we don't have time to get into the whole story here. There's a lot of it, but I would just say that in general, you know, kids want our affection. They want a connection with us. If they don't, it's because they're saying, I don't feel like I can completely trust you for some reason. Now, I don't presume to know why that would be. And maybe that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's something you can process with your therapist. But that's what she's saying. And so you don't want to let her push you away. What you need to do is say, look, I love you. And I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna force myself on you, but on the other hand, I'm not gonna let you get away with just saying, no, you don't wanna hug me. There's something going on right now between us. What do we need to do to make that connection stronger? I don't know. And she just sits there. So just sit there with her and stay with her just kind of be comfortable in the silence for a few minutes and then say, you know, I really want you to know that I'm here to listen to whatever it is that you have to say. And if that just means me sitting here and being quiet for the next 10 minutes, I'm okay doing that too. But I would really like to give you a hug, and I'd like to hold you and let you know that I love you, and just sit there with her. Even like, you know, you don't have to sit there for hours and hours and hours. But if she's pushing you away, don't go away, right? Sit there with her and be with her in that silence. And just before you go, ask her, would it be okay for me to give you a hug now? I'll bet you 9 times out of 10 she's going to say yes, because what you're doing is you're putting in the time and you're sending the message that I want to be here for you and I want to be in this with you. And you're not letting her dictate the terms of the relationship. You're interpreting that rejection, not so much as rejection, but as resistance, as a message that says, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know that I can trust you to be here with me in it for whatever reason. And the more you're able to sit there with her and help her experience that love through you, the more she's going to be open to that love too. And you know what? If you're silent, if she's being silent, and you want to go back to your original question, you want to bring God into this, while you're sitting there with her, and while she's just sort of staring at the wall and ignoring you, pray out loud. I want you to say, Lord, I love my daughter so much. I don't know how to reach her right now. I know she's hurt, and I know she's angry, and I know she's scared, and I know she doesn't trust me completely. And I don't know what to do about it, but I love her, and I need you to help me show her that I'm here for her, and I love her with all my heart, and if I could, I would take my heart out of my body and put it on hers so that she could know how much I love her. Help me be the mom she needs me to be right now. And just sit with her then, right? But you've brought God into that moment, and you're being with her in that silence, and you're sharing your heart with her even though she's not really open to it consciously. She's taking all that in. And then at the end of that time, after just sitting with her for a little bit, before you go again, just ask, would it be okay if I just gave you a little hug? Because I love you so much, and I really need you to know it. I bet you that she'd answer you in the affirmative. try some of these things out. Give us a call back in a couple of weeks and let us know how it's going, and we might have some other ideas for you at that point. But I know that this is going to make a difference for you. I want to thank you for calling in, Maggie. We have added your family to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We've got to go to break. We are continuing to take your calls about that negative voice in all of our heads that tell us that we're not good enough, that we are not loving or lovable, rather, that we are not able to make those changes in our life that we need to make, that tell us that we're powerless or rob our peace or joy or confidence. If you're tired of that inner critic and want to do battle, we want to show you how to do it. Let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Watkins, who'll be sharing some additional insights on defeating that desolation that robs us from God's grace when we come back after these messages.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo. If you're facing uncertainty with your current healthcare plan, now is the time to join CMF Curo. You can join any time during the year, and CMF Curo offers flexible Catholic healthcare solutions for individuals, families, and employers. CMF Curo is your personal healthcare advocate. Contact them today at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. This program is brought to you in part by the support of MVP Realty Associates, helping people find homes in the town of Ave Maria, Florida. The town of Ave Maria has a water park, golf courses, restaurants, medical and retail stores, and is located 20 minutes from Naples. New construction and resale homes are available. More information about the town of Ave Maria and the vision of Domino's Pizza founder Tom Monahan is available from Greg Musumano at 239-825-6958.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
Research shows that when families openly live and share their faith together, they're more able to respond positively to the challenges they face every day.
So if you're looking for help in creating that joyful place where each member of your family experiences life as a gift from God, then you will want to check out our book, Discovering God Together, The Catholic Guide for Raising Faithful Kids.
You can find this book on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're coming against the inner critic that holds us back from the joy, the peace, the confidence, the grace that God wants to give us. Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. If you are tired of your inner critic or want to help someone you care about deal with theirs, we're here to help. Joining us right now, Rachel Watkins. She's the developer of the Little Flowers Girls Club and mom of 11. She's here to talk to us about how she stops beating up on herself. Hey, Rachel Watkins, welcome to More to Life.
It's great to
have you. I'm so glad we're doing this topic.
Oh, it's an important topic, and I'm going to say this, and people may disagree with me, but I think moms are more prone to this than anybody else on the planet, because we've got all these little people who expect us to be so, you know, all-knowing and all-perfect all the time. We get in our heads, don't we? I mean, does that happen to you, Rachel?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And you're right, because we criticize ourselves. We think the world is criticizing us. And depending on our choices, my large family, my decision to homeschool, all of those things, I can really feel the attack. It's like I troll myself. And I think we need to recognize that we can do it to ourselves, and we need to keep ourselves out of harm's way. And for myself, I have to think about what is causing those negative thoughts, the who, what, where, why, and how of it all, and pause for a minute and say, why am I feeling this as I'm like leaving Walmart perhaps, or why am I feeling this after being with a certain person? And to realize that I can set up boundaries and say, I'm not going to spend time with that person if I can avoid them. I'm not going to spend time on the internet, wherever it is that you feel it bubbling up in you to, you know, to kind of tear yourself down. remove yourself as best as you can from those situations so you don't keep reopening those wounds.
Well, I think that's a very important point, because it's not just accepting the thought as real. It's saying something about this made me feel vulnerable or opened me up to this. Mm-hmm. Let me figure that out. Just figuring that out can make us feel more empowered and allow us to fight back. What are some other things you do to fight back from thoughts like this?
Write yourself a litany of encouragement. We all know litanies as Catholics. You know, that repeated prayer. What will you write for yourself that you will say? Is it a scripture verse on your bathroom mirror, or just, I am confident? Remember past successes. I am proud of this that my family did. I'm proud of this that I did. And saying that as a litany in your head as you're driving away from a bad conversation, or as you're feeling it, to pause and bring the Holy Family into it. Let Mary and Joseph remind you of the good parent, the good mother that you are, then helps rebuild that foundation that was torn down by the encounter or the conversation you had to be a part of.
That is so important. And also it's important to just kind of have that one or two people that can help check your thoughts, right?
That's exactly it. I talked about rebuilding a foundation, and Lisa and I, you talked about it can take moments to tear down a house, one big wrecking ball. And that can happen to our souls and our spirits. So what we need to do is, how are we going to rebuild the foundation? Who is on our construction team? Hopefully it's your spouse within your own family. But if it's not, do you have prayer partners? Do you have people from church? Or a professional. Matt and I have been to counseling, and how important that has been to us for me to get the language to use to help myself and to help Matthew.
So important.
Rachel, I have to jump in with that, but thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and offer those suggestions for defeating our inner critic. We'll be back to help you fight your inner critic when More to Life continues after the break at 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Support for Ave Maria programming comes in part by CatholicCounselors.com. Self-help resources and support from Catholic telecounselors from the privacy of home. CatholicCounselors.com, helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence. Awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh yes, let me say it. And when I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
I was raised a Catholic and went to church every Sunday faithfully. I met a boy and he was non-Catholic, so I left the church to be with him. When I was away from church, I yearned to be home. What brought me back was my longing for the Eucharist. The Eucharist fills me with a spirit that you can't find anywhere else. I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
We invite you to take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Get more information on today's guest and download the program from the Ave Maria Radio website, AveMariaRadio.net. And when your local radio signal is out of reach, listen live on the Ave Maria Radio app.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Pope Francis has said that there are too many children who are orphans within the family, that parents, especially fathers, need to take more time with their children. In today's culture, families can be little more than collections of individuals living under the same roof and sharing a data plan. Marriage and family don't just happen because you occupy the same space, and it has to be more than just what happens in the 5 minutes between all the other activities that keep us busy. Husbands and wives, parents and children need to make a specific, concerted effort to create what I call rituals of connection. These are regularly scheduled times to work, play, talk, and pray together. Pope Francis is asking Catholic families to examine what it really means to be a family and put in the work necessary to achieve that. For more information on Catholic family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Mind Over Matter, as we talk about defeating the way our minds undermine us, coming against that inner critic that holds us back. How does your inner critic get in your way? Does it beat you up when you make mistakes? Does it tell you that you're not good enough, or make you feel guilty, anxious, or powerless to address the challenges that you face in your life? For that matter, would you like to help someone you care about stop getting stuck in that negative headspace about themselves or their circumstances? Let's talk it out and find some ways to defeat that inner critic. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
Well, I think Rachel Watkins in our last segment kind of used a term that I think sums it up, what we can do to ourselves. She said sometimes we troll ourselves. And it comes from the term, of course, you know, internet troll. And there are these people who in the comments section say horrible things about whatever the post was about.
And completely derail the conversation.
Derail the conversation. It's toxic, right? And we look at those people and we say, that was a horrible thing to do. What are they thinking? But we don't really do that when we're trolling ourselves. We don't stop in our tracks and say, this is destructive. What am I thinking? I need to think differently. I need to not give voice to this in my mind. That's a battle that's far more difficult because it's so personal and so inside our heads. If you're struggling with that or care about somebody who you know is, we're here for you today. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
With that, let's talk to Annie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on the Ave Maria Radio Network. Hey, Annie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. I guess you could say I'm a lapsed Catholic. I mean, I'm, you know, born Catholic and everything, but not lapsed because I don't want to go to church. I was lapsed because my priest threw me out after I went to confession to seek forgiveness 12 years ago for having to have an abortion to save my life because my life was in danger.
So
I have beaten myself up every day since. I know what I did was wrong, and every day it's hammered into me what a horrible thing I've done, and I don't know how to turn that off. I haven't even been able to go into church because when I went 12 years ago, this priest refused to forgive me and told me I was no longer welcome.
Annie, I'm sorry that was your experience.
That's tragic.
I want to go back so badly.
Well, I want to tell you that you are welcome, and I'm sorry that you had that experience, because the church is a, as Pope Francis has said, a field hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints, and we are all sinners in one way or another, and as painful as this experience has been and as horrible as the abortion was, God's mercy is even deeper, and his love for you is even more profound, and you are welcome, and I'm sorry that you've had that experience. I want to give you a couple of resources that I think are going to help facilitate your healing. But the most important thing that I can tell you right now, Annie, is that God loves you, that you are welcome in this church, and that there is forgiveness and healing available for you. I'm sorry that you've been treated that way. I'm sorry that you were given the advice that you were given about the abortion. I'm sorry that you did not receive the healing that you were seeking whenever you sought confession. And I'm sorry that you've been in agony for all these many years. There are a couple of wonderful resources that I want to bring you to, and then I'm going to pray with you, actually. So there's a, I want you to go to hopeafterabortion.com, and that is a website that is basically a clearinghouse for different resources for folks who are dealing with post-abortion difficulties, depression, anxiety, the guilt, all of it. It's a wonderful ministry for healing in the church. It's run by the church to reach out to folks just like you who are really suffering and in the pain of the post-abortion agony. Again, the website is Hope After Abortion, and it has resources all over the country that can help connect you with ways to heal. There's another group, rachelsvineyard.org is the other website that I want you to go to, and they do specific ministry all over the country. They have retreats. They have, and now because of COVID, they're doing them online as well. But they are specifically geared to healing folks who are post-abortive like yourself. It is a compassionate place to go and receive the support, the forgiveness, the grace, the healing that you need to move forward in this process. But I need you to know, Annie, that God loves you, that the church does welcome you, and I'm sorry for the experiences that you've had, but I'm glad that you had the courage to call in today. And I want to just pray with you as we let you go. Lord, we just ask your grace and your blessing on your daughter, Annie, that she would know that you love her, that she would be able to feel your grace pouring into the pain in her heart and in her soul that she has, both from the abortion and from the reception that she had whenever she tried to seek healing in your church. We ask you to help her know that she is your beloved daughter. We ask you to help her know how much she is worth in your eyes and how much you love her and long to welcome her back. And we ask you to help her find the courage to come back to church and to receive the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness, and the welcome that she deserves as your daughter. And we ask all of this through the intercession of the Holy Family. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Annie, thank you so much for having the courage to call today. And I just want you to know again that you are loved and that you are welcome, and that I want you to go ahead and come back to the church, a different parish than perhaps you went to before, but to seek that healing, and I promise you that you will receive a better reception because God does love you. And please do go to those
please
websites.
Please use help, those resources.
Helpafterabortion.com for the National Clearinghouse, the Project Rachel, and then rachelsvineyard.org, which is the ministry that holds retreats all over the country for folks who are post-abortive.
And both of these resources really are, Annie, just a place for you to sort out what one person gave you very, very bad reception for 12 years ago. These folks know exactly what the church teaches on this, how to minister to you and help you heal. And the fact that you were listening today and had the courage and the desire, you know, you remind me right now of that wonderful woman of faith where Jesus was walking through the crowd and the crowds were just pressing in on him, and she had been suffering with hemorrhages for 12 years, but had been suffering for 12 years, the same amount that you have been going through here, and she reached out and touched the tassel of his garment. And she was healed immediately. And Jesus said to her, that kind of faith, you know, you are healed. And he knew because she had sought relief everywhere and hadn't been able to find it. But she sought out Christ, even to go against everything everybody would have said. Women were not allowed to touch men in their culture. And the fact that she reached out and she touched him in this crowd, and he knew immediately. And I just see his eyes of mercy and compassion just looking at you the same way, that after 12 years of this suffering and being just not given the relief that you need, the understanding and love and compassion that you need, that you reached out to listen to EWTN, to Ave Maria Radio today, still seeking God. He knows that you're seeking him. He loves you so much. And I really believe he wants to heal you completely and allow you to walk through this healing bit by bit through these resources today. So please don't hesitate to go to these resources and begin that healing process anew.
HopeAfterAbortion.org and RachelsVineyard.org. Annie, again, thank you so much for the call and for the courage to reach out to us. I know that God wants to heal you, and you know that in your heart because you feel that longing to reach out even now. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about dealing with your inner critic. What is that voice in your head that's holding you back? How is it holding you back? Is it undermining your confidence? Is it making you feel powerless to make the changes you need to make in your life? Is that voice undermining the peace or the joy in your life? Or for that matter, are you dealing with someone you care about who is stuck in that negative headspace about themselves or their situation, but you're not sure how to help? Either way, we are here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians 10:5.
We destroy arguments and every pretension raising itself against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ.
That verse is so important, especially that last part where we take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. You know, we have a tendency to think that the thoughts that pass through our minds just are. You know, they are our thoughts, and we are stuck with them, and that's all there is to it. But this scripture, and also good psychology, teach us that when we're able to step back from our thoughts, we can see that our thoughts don't, these thoughts that pass through our minds aren't our thoughts until we accept delivery, until we sign for them. You know, we have a million weird thoughts that pass through our mind, like, you know, wouldn't it be fun to fly? and we dismiss them because we recognize they're crazy thoughts. They're silly thoughts. They're just random thoughts. But there are some thoughts that we sign off for when they get delivered to our doorstep, that we shouldn't. And we have a choice in that. We have the ability to test our thoughts and to make them obedient to Christ by stepping back and asking, is this thought helpful or hurtful? Is this thought a consolation or a desolation? Does this thought lead to meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue, in which case I want to lean into it, or powerlessness, isolation, self-pity, and self-indulgence, in which case I need to reject it? We have power over our thoughts. Scripture tells us, psychology tells us. Let us help you claim that power today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about defeating the inner critic that's getting in your way when we come back after these messages.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring, sporting events are held without fans, even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about the inner critic today, that voice inside all of our heads that seeks to steal our joy, to rob our peace, undermine our confidence, and also undermine all those things in the people that we love. If you are looking to defeat that inner critic in your own head, or to come against those negative thoughts that preoccupy the minds of the people that you care most about, but you're not sure how to help them. Either way, we are here to help you defeat that inner critic and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit calling you into deeper relationship with Him and enabling you to discover your best self. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with John, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kentucky.
Hey, John, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hello, this is John. Can you hear me okay?
We can. What's up today, John?
Okay. All right, just making sure I have my radio down. Listen, I'm trying not to make it too long, but I'm trying to get the speck out of my brother's eye, and I know how that sounds. But anyway, I'm worried about my brother. He's estranged from the family after the death of our last parent. And because of some inheritance issue where money had been borrowed by him and not paid back or something or other. Anyway, I wasn't the executor. Two of my siblings were. And without belaboring the thing, he has doesn't want to have anything to do with any of the family because of something that's relatively minor when he doesn't want to talk about the fact that perhaps he swindled my mother out of money. I don't know whether he did or not. I assume the best. I don't think he did, but somehow he doesn't want to even explain what happened there. But yet, okay. Because, you know, we didn't do this or that, some minor thing, well, then now it's our fault.
So are you wanting to address this issue about, you know, the relationship with the money, or are you wanting to rebuild relationship with your brother, or what can we help you with here?
No, I'm just looking for some way to help him get out of this funk he's in, and he can't. It's making him sick, and he you know, I try to explain to him, look, accept responsibility, and things will go better for you. But, you know, but...
Right, yeah, he probably didn't receive that message very well. So, but it sounds like you do have some contact with him then?
Yes, I'm able to call him, and if he's not busy, he'll pick up. Otherwise, he never returns a call or anything. But so okay. At least he'll pick up.
So, I mean, it sounds to me like your brother doesn't have great conflict management skills, right? And probably is not a terrifically responsible person in general. You know, if he handled the situation with your mom's money this way, if he's handling conflict this way, he's not gonna handle the direct approach very well. And I don't, you know, the problem in terms of, you know, the money he took from your mom has been handled, right? That was deducted from his inheritance by the executor of the will. You know, it shouldn't have happened the way it did, but it did, and so now he's, you know, in a sense, you've held him accountable for that, and that's all there is to it. I don't think there's any point in continuing to bring it up with him because he won't take responsibility, and your efforts to ask him to take responsibility are just going to drive him further away. I think the best thing that you can do is kind of limit yourself at this point to a superficial relationship where you're talking about the weather, you're talking about current events, you're talking about stuff that's going on in the family, you're just being pleasant. And the point of that is not to ignore the elephant in the room. It's to build enough of a relationship that perhaps at some point down the road, when he would be willing to address these things, then you would have enough of a relationship to do it. But if you make moving forward in this relationship dependent upon him being willing to do something he's just not capable of doing at this point, you're not going to have any relationship at all.
You know, the other, you know, leaf to this is if you really don't know, John, whether this was an intentional thing or what the background was, it's over. It's done. And you can just say, look, you mean more to me than money, and I don't want to talk about it again. I just want to be your brother. And just move ahead without the agenda of ever straightening out the money thing. Because I got news for you, my friend. Money's real temporary. But
well, and it's been handled.
It's handled, but money's real temporary from here on in. It's our relationships with each other and with God that last forever. And so you really want to search your heart and say, Lord, are you just asking me to just walk away from this whole thing that's become such a sticking point in the family to be in relationship with my brother? Or would it be working more for his good and our good because he could do it all again to pursue this and really take that to prayer to really be able to discern that for yourself? Because we don't know all the details, but you know which way this has to go.
You know, for somebody else who's listening and maybe was frustrated with the advice that we're giving here, you know, there are times when setting a boundary with a family member like this would be appropriate. So, for example, if John's brother was capable of having this conversation, you know, based on other signs that he was dealing with conflict well in this area of his life, or you know, handling himself responsibly in that area of his life, you know, it made sense that he would be capable of having this conversation and working through it. Well, then, you know, setting boundaries that would drive that conversation would make sense. But when somebody's not able to do something, because they're showing in their general behavior that they're just not capable of handling things in a forthright and responsible manner, to ask them to do that as a qualification of having any relationship at all is sort of a fool's errand. So, I mean, it's disappointing when somebody you love can't be responsible, can't be forthright, can't be honest, and you cannot have a deep and meaningful relationship with that person, but you can have some relationship. And that's why we're suggesting to John that he wants to, you know, limit himself to a more superficial relationship until such time that his brother were to take, you know, were perhaps to either see that he needs to grow, mature, and be able to have this conversation and take some steps on his own to do that, or be open to having that conversation once the tension has drained out of the dynamic between them. So that's really the only way forward if you want to have a relationship with your brother. And I'm sorry that I don't have better news for you on that front, but it is the way forward. To maybe that strengthen that bond. 877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about defeating that inner critic that's holding you back and holding your loved ones back as well. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Melissa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Melissa. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, how are you today?
We're good. What can we do for you?
I guess I have a question. I'm not sure if this is an inner critic or what, but there's a hobby that I really love pursuing. It's a great passion of mine. And I guess, like, an inner voice is, oh, God doesn't want to provide opportunities for you to pursue this, or it's not directly ministry. It's not, like, a good use of your time. And I don't know, maybe is that a fear of pursuing this hobby or self-doubt or lies, but it definitely is defeating, and it makes me feel like I'm just kind of spinning my wheels, having this mm-hmm. deep desire to pursue this, but feeling guilty about it too. And I just wanted some help with discernment on that.
Okay, I just have to ask, is this a normal, completely moral hobby that's not going to lead you into any kind of sin, right? It's just a hobby that you want to pursue that you feel passionate about, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Can I ask, I mean, when you think about, you know, you said that the thought that goes through your head is that this, because this isn't a ministry per se, that you don't have the right to pursue that? Is that what's going through your head there?
Yeah, oftentimes.
So the feel, the thought is that unless, you know, that if you have spare time and you're not using it in a specifically religious or ministry-based activity, that's wasting the time. Is that what I'm understanding that belief is?
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Yeah.
Okay, and that's not true, of course. I mean, on the one hand, everything we do, we need to do for God, right? So we got that. But not everything that we do for God has to be specifically religious or ministry oriented, right? You know, the fact being able to do something that's creative, that brings beauty into the world, that helps us be more joyful people, you know, that we can do for God as well.
Yeah, I mean, St. John Paul II talked often, you might even want to Google St. John Paul II, leisure, about how human beings were created to bring beauty into the world, to pursue leisure. It's one of the things that separates us from the animals.
You know,
Not everything has to be work and task.
They don't compose music, they don't write poetry.
You know,
they didn't
create great cathedrals, they just... You know, but humans are tasked with bringing God's creativity and beauty into the world. And even if that means I'll just pull something out of a hat, sitting and just doing embroidery or painting something you don't think anybody's going to see or whatever that is, photography, it's a way for you to connect with that divine spark of creation. And I would say that Satan's trying to keep you from connecting with the divine spark that's there, that God has given you that because you somehow don't think you're working hard enough or doing enough for God. But part of connecting with that divine spark is a very prayerful thing. So look at that hobby as a possibility of opening a door to the Holy Spirit in your life.
And if you have an opportunity, it's everything in balance, right? I mean, so if you have an opportunity to make sure that you're doing some kind of ministry work as well and make sure that you're taking care of your family and your other responsibilities.
Sure.
But you certainly have every right to carve out a little bit of time every day or a couple times a week to work on those passions that are just yours, that bring joy into your life and help you be creative and connect, as Lisa was saying, with that divine spark that comes from those kinds of pursuits that make us fully human. Thanks so much for the call. And if there's more we can do for you or any of you listeners who are struggling with that inner critic, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com, where we have many, many resources to help you live a healthy, joyful, and abundant life, including my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and many, many other resources there, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life God wants you to have. Have a blessed weekend.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.